Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media...
Suck up blocked. It is blocked and recovered by Houston's A.J. Moore.
And then you can just throw quickly.
There it is. It comes into the arms of Houston. And running with it. And still going is Merciless. He breaks the tackle. Can he outrun? Smith gets to him at the 10. It comes in and out of the arms of a Titan and into the hands of Merciless. To the end zone, over the top. Stills has it for the Houston touchdown. Goes for it. Back to Stills. He's got his second touchdown catch of the quarter.
Well, I don't see why you would punt this. To me, a fake.
Oh, it's not going to be a punt. It's going to be a deep pass, and it's knocked down. What a play by Lonnie Johnson. It's Hyde. Cutting outside. Hyde to the 5. Hyde to the end zone. He has his first 1,000-yard season of his career on that run. More importantly, a touchdown for the Texans. Houston has players back at the 35. And Tannehill is taken down at the 3.
Ball game. Go ahead. Who made that sack? 94. I had to guess it a little earlier. It's
Ominihu.
Ominihu.
Want to make sure as the time is out.
Sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
All right. Time to go and buy those AFC South champion t-shirts. Maybe hang that banner. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the bleeping universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number on the HRNP listener line. There's also Facebook if you want to send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll get it. Just go find the Blitz. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the Real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you wish to watch us on Twitch, you can just go find the Twitch channel on ESPN975.com and get in the chat room. If it's good, we'll read it. Or if we get around to it. Just depends. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Not have an awesome betting weekend, but that's okay.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, you were not alone.
Your Houston Texans have retaken control of the AFC South, Mr. Hoffman.
They have, and it wasn't pretty, but that's the kind of game where you don't really care if it's pretty or not.
Yeah,
somebody needed to get the job done. The Texans were able to get it done, so kudos to them. They needed that win. I don't feel any better about this team overall. I might be. I don't know if you're laughing at me because you do.
No,
but
no, I'm laughing at you because I probably feel worse about this team after that win, which I know sounds ridiculous. And if I'm being unfair, then the people will let me know. But I saw so many things in that game. I mean, first off, the Justin Reed, Whitney Merciless play won the game for him.
Yes.
I mean, that was a game changer. It was a terrific play. The fact that they scored right after it, you know, that was awesome. But what continues to frustrate me are little things that never get fixed with this team that could have cost them the game. And, you know, all right, so the first Watson interception, I'm not going to put too much of that on him because I think Vaccaro made a terrific play on it. He kind of duped him a little bit. And it wasn't, you know, that because he was a little late with the ball. If he gets that thing, and part of it was because he was scrambling. If he gets it away a second earlier, Johnson's wide open. So that one I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on. The second one, that was a combination of a horrible play call by Bill O'Brien. I mean, I don't understand why you're throwing to one guy in the back of an end zone with six Titans in between him and the receiver. And then just a terrible decision by Watson to try to force it in there. And that kind of stuff has on for both of them, it's got to stop. All you need is 3 points there. Just get 3 points and it's a two-score game again.
Yeah.
And don't take a high-risk, no-reward play. I mean, that the best thing that was going to happen on that play was it was going to be incomplete. Yeah. That was the best thing. There was no way they were completing that pass. How they make that call and how Watson doesn't see that? I mean, what the obvious hell? So that and so that one there kind of got me a little bit. But what really bothered me the most, and Romo mentioned this as well, it's one of the few things he got right yesterday. I think, I don't know how much he prepared for that game, but that was the worst performance I've ever heard Romo do. But when it's third down and you're about to kick the field goal and they don't have timeouts, why are you throwing the football? That is just a dumb decision because the 4 points don't matter. All you need to do is go up 10 and run 30 seconds off, and then you don't have to worry about the fact that here's the other thing that frustrates the crap out of me. Whatever their prevent defense is the worst I've ever seen. I mean, how fast you knew they were going to march down the field, and the game shouldn't even be in doubt. And it really wasn't because, to their credit, the Titans probably kicked the worst onside kick I've ever seen.
Oh, that was horrible.
I mean, were they even trying? It's like, oh, let me bunt the ball to you, sir. Catch it. But, I mean, stuff like that, I keep seeing it. And even when they win football games and even when they go on the road and beat a team that's been red hot and play well enough to win that game, I just keep seeing that stuff. And to me, that's going to get them beat in the playoffs. You just can't make those kind of mistakes over and over and over again. And what about this team has told you that they're going to fix that?
Nothing. And I talk a lot about phony box scores. If you look at the box score of this game, it's hard to imagine that the Texans should have won this game. I mean, really, like you said, the one play, which is, was it a good play? Yes. Was it also an extremely fortunate
bounce? Yes.
Bounce for the Texans?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Whitney Merciless certainly wasn't looking for the ball to bounce into his hands there.
And, one of my biggest bets this weekend was the over in this game. So I don't want to complain too much about three interceptions in the end zone. Nah, no big deal. But that's pretty gross. Like, it was one of many. Like, one, that play specifically was a play that it really swung the game the Texans' direction. And yeah. had that not happened, I don't know if the Texans were ever going to score because they didn't seem like they wanted to. It's like they, as soon as they got close, they got allergic to it. They got outrushed. Tannehill was better than Deshaun.
They out yarded him by about 60 yards. The time of possession wound up being pretty close. The second half, I mean,
the Texans had more turnovers.
Yeah,
I mean, the Titans were, you could argue, the better team.
That's the impression I got. They just, and I think that one play flipped everything. That and the fact that their field goal kicker,
well, the block kick.
Yeah, he and that ball, Peter Dinklage would have blocked that. My goodness, that was
never
awful.
Had a chance.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, just an odd game, and like I said,
but I also think Vrabel made a couple of questionable decisions that cost his team. And I think throwing the ball down there when you've got Derrick Henry standing behind you.
Well, I didn't hate that because that play worked. Like they were going into the end zone. If the guy holds on to the ball,
they had it read though. I mean, he was going to get popped there, and
sure.
I don't think he was going to get in the end zone. He might have gotten tackled at the one. But the guy, you know, that there's no need for that. I think the fake punt was about as obvious as it gets.
I mean, you knew, it didn't make sense for them to be punting from there anyway. Why even pretend? If you're going to go for it, go for it. Just give yourself a real shot. That's like now you're like playing a lotto ticket.
I mean, even the Texans knew it was coming. That ought to tell you something. And we know how because they are in fake punts.
Everyone knew it was coming. I don't feel like anyone was fooled.
And credit to Johnson on that for not trying to intercept it, just knock the ball down, because that made a big difference.
Save yourself some yards.
Yeah.
Listen, it was an important win. It was a win that all but sealed their playoff spot. But it definitely doesn't leave you with a warm fuzzy about what this team is, especially given what we saw last week. And really, the last time, again, I know the Patriots win is like this historic win for the franchise, but the last time we really saw the Texans control a game and beat a team up and actually look like they were the better team on the field for the whole game was the Jags game in London. And it's been a long time ago now. So it's, you start to worry if this team is, are they as good as their record says they are? And listen, you're 9-5. That's, you feel pretty solid about that team. But boy, that win yesterday, the Broncos loss, even going back to like the Colts win, the Ravens loss, there hasn't been a lot of times where I've been really confident in what I'm seeing, especially when I add the grain of salt that really should be added with that Patriots win.
Yeah, I would say the one difference, and I don't want to be totally negative here because, yeah, that was a big win for him.
Oh, absolutely.
The difference between this year's team and last year's team, they've had close wins this year, but those are games they won. Last year, they fluked into several wins, missed field goals and, you know, Colts going for it on fourth down, stuff like that. There hasn't been much of that this year where the other team just screwed up. You know, I guess you could argue the first Jaguars game, maybe they shouldn't have gone for two, but I like the call.
I like the call too.
Yeah, so that's one positive, is they're not winning games like that. We're going, how the hell did you win? And yeah, I think in this case, they at least made some plays when they had to. And they weren't in danger of losing at the end, even though they almost put themselves in danger of losing.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that still gets me, is that game never needed to be that close at the end. It really didn't. You had control of the game, run off some more time, and even if your prevent defense completely sucks, as it did, there's not enough time left for them at all to get the ball back one more time. Because even though they were pinned, the odds of them winning the game there are pretty low, but why even put that in play? Just take it out of play.
Well, we'll get to this on the other side. Lamont seems to think that we're on the wrong side of this. Okay, maybe we watch a different game, but yeah, we'll discuss it on the other side.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, let me tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. Shopping for electricity rates, it's not a fun thing. Everybody knows that. But Tri-Eagle Energy, they're trying to make it better for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks. No surprises on your bill. In fact, you're going to receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even goes out. Lock your rate in for 12, 24, or 36 months, so when rates change, you're good. You're right here where you're supposed to be. No minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. And right now, you want to save even more money. You can get a discount when you use our promo code ESPN when you sign up. 877-93-EAGLE or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in on the HRNP listener line. So, what are we wrong about? Tell me.
Lamont says that get the F out of here saying the Titans were the better team yesterday. Texans should have won by 2 to 3 touchdowns. I guess, like I said, I guess we were watching different games because the stats don't say the Texans should have won by two or three touchdowns.
No, the well, just things that I look at, and I also keep in mind like to get rid of empty yards, and I think the last touchdown drive had some empty yards to it, but that's
I won't say that because I mean unless the game is like a. You know, outside of two scores, I don't think there's a such thing as empty yards in the NFL.
I disagree, but 432 to 374, yards per play, 6.4 to 5.9, more passing yards, 269 to 234, more rushing yards, 163 to 140, force more turnovers. You give me those, and I'm going to win 90% of the time. So...
Well, with Lamont, we just disagree on what we saw yesterday. It was a good win. It's nice at the end of the day to have the W instead of the L, certainly. But they didn't play well yesterday. I don't think they would say they played well yesterday.
They played well in spurts, and that can be enough. And that's why they won the game. They made enough big plays. The defense got stops at the right time, and which credit to them for that. But I think the Titans kind of helped with some of their mistakes as well. So I think, you know, I don't know that I will sit here and say the Titans were the better team yesterday.
But no, I don't know that I would either, but I wouldn't argue that they weren't. Statistically, they were the better team.
But I think that they were pretty damn equal, and it came down to one play in the end to me. That one, that 14-point swing.
Maybe the flukiest play in the entire damn game. So, I don't know. If you walk away feeling great about that game, good for you. I just don't. Well, I didn't see anything in that game that made me think, man, Texans, they've really got something going here. I don't see it.
Nick says, what game were y'all watching? Without the two picks in the end zone, yes, bad plays. Houston would have won by four TDs. First off, you can't take away the two picks in the end zone, Nick. They happen. Second of all, all right.
Are you not going to take away the pick that Merciless had that led to your first point?
Here's what you do. If you take away those two, you have to take away the Titans pick in the end zone. You have to take away the blocked field goal. Because, gosh, nobody ever makes mistakes. Yeah, that's...
That's not the whole... I mean, those, you're like, you take away the three biggest plays in the entire game, and that's, you know, the Texans win by a million. Do they? That's... If every pass that Watson threw was complete, and every pass Tannehill threw was complete, I would have hit my over. I didn't, though.
Well, there are the positive things I would say about it, though, is that, you know, like I said, I think that play essentially won the game for him because that was a 14-point swing. But they also responded very well when the Titans tied the game. They came right back down and got the touchdown, which is a good thing to do. It shows, you know, that shows me a lot when they march down the field and do that. But then you come back and you throw that pick in the end zone when you can put the game away. And just a horrible play call and a horrible decision. And I don't know how you can look at that and say, oh, well, you can take that away. No, the Texans gave it to them with that play. That was just dumb. And the other positive that I will I'll throw out there is they did a pretty good job keeping Derrick Henry from breaking a bunch of big runs.
They did a great job with Derrick Henry on first down. Because that's where the Titans have really had success lately is getting Derrick Henry going on first down and then putting Tannehill in super manageable downs on second and third. And yesterday, they did a really good job of limiting him on first down, which put Tannehill in not so good situations. So I thought that was maybe the best thing they had going for him yesterday.
And I mean, the Titans still ran for 163 in part because they let Jonnu Smith get loose for 57, but they did a good job with Henry there. And I mean, the guy had been a 100-yard machine and they kept him under 100, which if you told me they did that, I'm going to give him a good chance to win. I thought Carlos Hyde was really good yesterday. And the fact that he's over 1,000 yards, he's had a pretty solid season for him. The other positive that I want to throw out there, Zach Cunningham's been a monster, even against the Broncos last week. That guy is just all over the field. And he had another 14 tackles yesterday and another half sack. And he's turned into a really good player for them. Those are my positives.
There was one more play, and while we're talking about kind of plays that had a major impact, that penalty on the unnecessary roughness penalty on Scarlett, that's garbage.
Yeah, it was. I'm not defending the refs on that, but in real time, when you see the guy's head pop, you know, more often than not, they're going to throw the flag. But
yeah.
Because we all have the luxury of seeing the replay. In seeing the replay, yes, it was a terrible call. I mean, that's one you just look at and you go, what the bleep? Hey, here's another positive. No false starts for Laremy Tunsil.
Zero false starts. I guess the target's off of him now. It's all good.
The other thing I'll kind of throw out, this will, you know, make everybody mad who thinks that this was huge. On the Whitney Merciless read play,
uh-huh.
I think the Titans had a false start that didn't get called.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, it looks like the left tackle jumps backwards before the snap. And
I didn't see it at the
time.
Well,
certainly. When I saw it live, I'm like, why is that not a false start? And then when they got the interception, like, oh, good. Glad it's not. But I went back and watched it. I think there should have been a false start call on that. Yeah, but I mean, there were some good things. It's just the frustrating part for me is the same crap that you keep seeing over and over that's going to cost you games.
Yeah.
And it hasn't yet. And, you know, and I think the biggest problem with them is we've seen all your inconsistency. And Deshaun, too. I mean, Deshaun goes from making some, I mean, absolutely beautiful throws to Kenny Stills to what the hell was that in the end zone? Other positive, DeAndre Hopkins took over the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But, you know, but having said all that, I'm not going to be shocked if I go in and lose to Tampa next week.
Isn't Tampa favored?
I don't know. Are they?
I think I saw it open up as them a favorite.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't even looked at next week's lines yet because I'm still smarting from yesterday.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we'll go over that. Didn't go well for your boy either. And not only did it not go well for me, it could have gone worse. And I completely... maybe I shouldn't say I completely luck boxed because I got lucky and I got unlucky yesterday. So the gambling gods saved me at the end a little bit, not enough to make it a winning weekend certainly, but they had owed me one from earlier in the day.
According to pregame, Texans open -1.5.
Okay.
Somebody brought up a pretty good point on the text line. The Texans did a good job of getting an early lead, and they weren't able to wear them down.
There was no early lead.
Yeah, they were up 14-0.
It wasn't necessarily early.
First half.
0 points in the first quarter.
No, but they got them down in the first half, and that made it a lot harder on the Titans' offense.
Yeah, they're not built for that.
No. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that was a big advantage. That's one reason why, and that's one reason for the yardage difference. The Texans were able to run the ball a lot more in that situation. But, and then, you know, I think another reason was the 9-minute drive where Tennessee had the ball to get the first touchdown. You know, that, you know, so I mean, again, I think there's some reasons the numbers were as different as they were, but I don't think it was, but I still think, you know, stats still say the Titans should have won the game.
Westgate opened Tampa -1. Westgate is now Houston -3.
Okay, I don't know. I don't really care about the line there. What I do care about is the over.
50.5, 51, depending on where you look.
I'll go 55 if I have to.
Well, now you're getting into where I was last week. I just felt so good about it. That number opened at 53, and it's been bet down. So I don't know what's going on with that. I may pass on that game altogether this week.
I may pass on everything this week.
Yeah. All right, I have got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Don't let the cold weather seep into your home through old leaky aluminum windows, guys. You could be saving up to 40% on your electricity bill right now. Think about that. Think about what your electric bill is every month. Now think about taking 40% of that and just putting it back in your bank. Guys, call my friends at Allstate Siding and Windows today for their winter special. 30% off all windows, $2,500 for an all siding, all full siding job. They're family owned and operated for over 45 years. What's that mean? It means they've been around forever, which means they're going to be around for a while. They're not going anywhere. It's always good to know that you're working with people who are going to be there for you. Military discounts, senior discounts, first responder discounts. This is the kind of company that you want to work with. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One more stat for you. Care to guess the QBRs from yesterday? Total QBRs?
For
Tannehill versus Tannehill. Watson.
My guess is I'll go with Watson was in the low 40s.
Okay.
And Tannehill was in the low 60s-ish.
Tannehill, 61.3.
That's low 60s. That's exactly what I said.
Yes. Deshaun Watson, 38.2.
What did I say, low 40s?
Yeah, so you weren't off on either one of those. So, I mean, and again, not be all end all, but kind of an indication as to who played better yesterday. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Another way to say what you guys are saying is the Texans are playing opportunistic defense, better in the red zone and back in. They overcame two back-breaking plays to beat a hot division rival on the road. They controlled the game. I disagree with that.
They didn't control the game, but they did. I mean, listen, they made more plays when it mattered because they won. So, yes, they did. But like I said, they didn't play well yesterday. If you watch that game and you're like, yeah, Texans look great, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. And this wasn't the Ravens. It was the Titans. It's another team just like them. A mediocre-ass team that's trying to make the playoffs.
I will stick to what I said. I think the two teams are pretty damn similar. The Texans made one more play than the Titans did. That was the difference. And, yeah, you want to talk about the picks in the end zone. Like I said, Vaccaro made a great play on the first one. That was one where he read the play. He kind of fooled Watson into thinking he was playing one coverage and not another. And, you know, that's a team making a play. So you can say, oh, well, if not for those two. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, and I haven't looked at any of the – although I find it interesting that the line moved from Texans – to minus, well, I guess it's
from a minus one to a minus or plus one to minus three.
Minus three. And while it did that, the over under came down from 53 to 51.
Yeah, it's odd.
I'm gonna love that.
People with more money than us,
making
those decisions.
But yeah, if not for a couple hockey overs this weekend, I bageled on the NFL this week for the first time ever. So
I didn't bagel on the NFL, but the Texans game killed me. Because I won the Giants. Like, everyone laughed at me for picking the Giants.
Yeah, I was on the flip side of that, and didn't work out.
I did get laughed at some for picking the Browns, and I should have been laughed at more. And maybe if I would have been laughed at enough, I wouldn't have played them.
See, that's the thing, though. They got down early, and when that happens, they're beat. If they get up early, it's a totally different animal because they're a bunch of meows.
The Redskins loss.
Oh, that was brutal.
Plus 4.5 is maybe the worst beat I've taken this year.
That might be the worst beat anybody's taken this year.
I don't think so, because I was on the right side of the luckiest thing that's happened all year, which was the Falcons over, which when we were talking last week, my three biggest plays of the week were Texans over, Falcons over, and Falcons plus 11. So I was looking at losing two out of those three with 2 seconds to go in the freaking game. And the Falcons or the Niners throwing around that stupid lateral and letting the Falcons score another touchdown gave me that over. I feel horrible if anybody had the under. I mean, it really saved my weekend from being a total nightmare. But yeah, I had a couple, like I had the Bills in a teaser with the Raiders. All I needed was the Raiders to win. The Raiders were running away with that
they're
game.
They're up 10. It's like, I'm not even looking at that game. I'm not worried about that. They got this.
What? And then, what was my other one? I had, I forget what other, the Chargers blew my other teaser. The Chargers who just rolled over and died. You talk about box score frauds. Go look at the yards per play, like just the total yards, everything in that Chargers Vikings game. They're almost exactly even, except the Chargers fumbled it five or six. I don't even know how many times they fumbled it, and the Vikings defense just scored a million points. So, just some crazy stuff happening in the NFL this week. Not a good weekend for me, certainly.
Oh, well. Next week.
On to the next one.
Bounce back. Hockley Dan asks, after another season under his belt, do you think Vrabel has an opportunity to be better than O'Brien? He's already better than I thought he would be. So I'll give him that. I also think he's very similar in that I saw a lot of mistakes out of his coaching yesterday that I've seen him make several times. But I think... I mean, yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's not like Bill O'Brien's a world beater.
No.
But, and yeah, I heard Lance and John talk about this morning. Somebody asked him, whose offense would you rather have right now?
The Texans or the Titans?
Yeah, and at first blush, you would say the Texans because you've got Watson
and
Hopkins.
I'd still take the Texans just because I trust Deshaun more than Tannehill. Like,
but
you know,
you'd rather have their offensive line.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have their running back.
Yeah,
and I'll be honest. A.J. Brown is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Hopkins, obviously, but he's...
greater than Will Fuller.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, and he'll be on the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a tough call. I think to me, the most important thing is going to be your quarterback, and I like the Texans at quarterback more than I like the Titans. Although the fact that it's even a discussion says something about the kind of year Ryan Tannehill's had, to his credit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I that's tough. Like I said, I don't want to poo-poo what happened yesterday because the Titans have been playing really well, and for the Texans to win that game was huge. Because had they lost it, we'd be sitting here, you know, basically writing their obituary. So the fact that they were able to get that win is a massive thing. It didn't make me feel good about the team, is all.
I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, I keep seeing the same things that frustrate me week in and week out that are correctable. Time management is correctable. Bad play calling from the... well, maybe that's not correctable. But, yeah, the thing at the end was... I mean, there's no reason to put that game in doubt. You could take a knee there and run off the 30 seconds and then kick the field goal. And... yeah, especially the way you're going to play prevent defense, which means you're not going to play defense.
Right.
You're just going to let them run down the field and try to keep it from being, in 20 seconds.
I mean, the Titans had their miscues as well. The fact that punt got fielded, I think, was a pretty big mistake. But it cost them probably 5 seconds and 15 yards.
Yeah, but I think at that point that it was going to take a miracle either way. But
sure.
That also shouldn't have been the first question Vrabel was asked.
No.
That Paul Kuharsky dude is an idiot. And then he was on Twitter.
Vrabel agrees.
He was on Twitter bragging about it.
Yeah.
How he upset Vrabel.
When you're a moron, like the coach calls you a moron, you're like, hey, guess what happened to me? The coach called me a moron. I'm pretty sure Rick Barnes said that's a stupid question to me once. And it was like, I thought it was really funny that Rick Barnes just thought I was a total idiot. But I was also 24 years old. So... maybe when you're a grown man, it's a little bit like I wouldn't want to go to a press conference and have the coach go, that's a really stupid question. Like, I just can't. It's definitely not something I would be bragging about.
Couple questions. Did Quinn and Garrett save their jobs on Sunday? Garrett's still going to have to win some playoff games. And I've heard a lot of talk that Quinn may have saved his. He has a, you know, he's at least got a Super Bowl in his background, so I don't know. Do you think the Texans are pressuring JJ to come back because there is more guaranteed money on his contract? If he gets hurt again, they can justify cutting him. No, that's no. Boy, that's a man. What is this, a conspiracy theory Monday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and listen, you've seen JJ hurt enough. He's not going to come back until he's ready.
Yeah, and so. I mean, in fact, what's the? I mean, isn't next year around the time when? If you cut him, it's not as punitive.
No, it won't be. It's just a PR thing, really. Are they ready for the PR hit?
And the dead cap, if you cut him after this year, is zero. So,
yeah, I mean,
if they want to cut him, they'll just cut him.
What I would expect to happen is they'll redo his contract.
Yeah, because you can't pay him over $15 million a year at this point, and that's what he's due.
And, you know, so maybe he gets a little more bonus money, but a lesser contract. And then Battery Check says, Kuharski used to write about the Texans on ESPN years ago. He used to argue with him all the time. I've never been a fan of his because he wrote before ESPN broke it up into teams.
He wrote the whole AFC South.
He did the whole AFC South, and it might as well have just been a Titans blog.
Yeah.
Because that's all he covered. That's where he was based. It was really irritating. And, you know, I've never had a ton of respect for the guy. I've got even less after that because... And look, Vrabel is going to be salty after that loss, but you're asking that question when there's 1,000 other plays in that game that you should be. I'm saying you shouldn't ask it at some point, like, "Hey, what happened at the end?" But that's not the first question out of the box. Come on, man. Oh, and then to brag about it, like, what are you, a 5-year-old? Oh, look, the coach got mad at me. Woo, dickweed. All right, guys, I am going to tell you about Whitmire's. I had a little bit of the rye bourbon blend this weekend, and if you haven't tried it yet, it's available at liquor stores all over the city. Whitmire's new rye bourbon blend. This is their new signature bottle, and if you haven't tried it yet, you've got to get it. It's at Specs, it's at Fiestas, it's at all the liquor stores all over the city. And still time to book a holiday party, make it look like you planned it all out. Do a barrel pick with your group. This is a cool thing. We did this when we were out there a few weeks ago. You go, you let everybody choose which one they like the best, and then they'll do it. They'll bottle it for you right there in the distillery. And if you haven't been to the distillery, man, the bar is fantastic. It's just a great place to go, and you can watch sports. They've got all kinds of mixed drinks with all their products. It's at 16711 Hollister in Houston. You can also go tour it on the weekends, and all you have to do is go to whitmires.com. You can book your tour. You can book your party. And you can find out the hours are open and go check them out. And racing's about to start again soon, so it's a great place to go before you go to the track. Whitmire's is Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery, whitmires.com.
Is the Blitz. Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Joining us now, he's the legend, Lance Erline. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench every morning. And are we being too unfair to the Texans because people think we're being too negative after a win?
Well, what are you saying?
I think we agree on this, that it's a great win because they had to have that win. It's a very important win. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make me feel any better about the team. I don't think they outplayed the Titans. It felt like they were just the less crappy of the two teams on the field yesterday. And statistically, the Titans were better than them.
You know, here's what I think they did well. They ran the ball well.
Not better than the Titans.
No, but Carlos Hyde, I don't think they were crappy at running the ball.
No, I don't either.
No, I mean, you know, in terms of crappy football, I think the only real crappy football the Texans really played was Deshaun Watson had three highly questionable decisions. One was obviously the throw to Duke Johnson where he just waited too long. One was the play action fake. You know, it didn't fool Tennessee. Throw that into the stands and move to the next play. And then, of course, throwing the ball away instead of sliding and keeping the clock running. That was a problem. Other than that.
Why are you calling those plays, though? Both of those plays. Why are you even sending those in? That's what I don't understand.
Which ones?
The interception on the, whatever, the three-yard line, where basically there's one receiver in the pattern.
The pop pass.
And six Titans in between him.
Well, I think that's because you typically are going to play action on first or second, not third down. The thought was probably you weren't going to, you were going to put yourself in a, you know, you wanted to take advantage of a, try to catch them off guard, hoping that they were going to do the same thing you're thinking, which is run the football. And then that's when play action works best. You know, Tennessee wasn't fooled. I got no problem with it personally because I've seen it called a million times and I've seen it work. It's a matter of execution, and it wasn't executed properly at all. I mean, it was a line drive. I don't really know what he was thinking there, and I'm sure Deshaun will take the blame for that one. But I didn't. I mean, for me, a play action pass around the goal line doesn't really bother me.
I don't mind play action, but throwing it to where the defense is all bunched in the middle with one receiver is just dumb. And then Watson making that decision. I mean, that's the thing. One of those two guys has to be smarter than that. Either send in a better play, or Watson has to say, "Okay, it's not there. Let's play for it." All you needed was 3 points.
He didn't even lob it though. Like it was a line drive through what was going to be three players. They had no chance of working. I mean, that's one you throw to the very back of the end zone. Either your guy gets it or nobody gets it. That's the only one that was. But I just think the quarterback needed to execute that one better. But he did execute well in the fourth quarter on that big drive that they had at the end of the game. I mean, Deshaun made some really good throws and some really good plays. Two throws to DeAndre Hopkins, who really took over in the fourth quarter. I thought it was a typical Texans game in Tennessee, even the games they win where – It never looks pretty in Tennessee ever. But even when they win, and it's a little grimy, that still had enough guys making plays that I was okay with that one, because I figured that one would be a little bit nasty. If you've watched the Tennessee games, even the games they've been winning, they turn into slop fests. I mean the Raiders game, the Chiefs game, just none of it has looked good with the Titans. And we already know the Texans play up and down. Inside of a single game, they can be wildly inconsistent, playing a good brand of football in one quarter and then bad the next. That's kind of who they are.
All right, getting to the other poor decision where he chucks the ball away. Again, why are you calling a pass play there?
Yeah, I would have been fine with, you know.
You don't need the extra 4 points. You just need the field goal to make it a two-score game and take time off the clock. They got no chance.
Yeah, to me, that is just all about running down clock. And I understand putting the ball in your playmaker's hands and letting them make a play. And, yeah, Deshaun needs to just slide when it's not there. But I'm kind of with you there. And you might be saying, well, then you don't really, you know, the flip side of that is to say, would you not trust your quarterback to make a smart play? Well, no, maybe not.
But you don't need 7 points there. That's the thing.
You didn't. You need less clock. What was more important is less clock and one more score.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, to me, you just hand it off, eat the clock up, don't be a genius.
But that's high school level thinking that says, oh, we don't need another touchdown. We just need to grind the clock down to nothing. Yeah. Like, that's the frustrating. And it's like...
So you wanted that more aggressive? You're okay with the pass there?
No, I don't want them to throw the ball. I want time to go off the clock is what I'm saying.
Well, then you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't understand the thinking the other is logical in any situation.
Well, I guess look, another score makes it a two-score game. So whether it's a field goal or touchdown,
that's what I'm.
You put the heat on the other team to score twice, and you suck out another 40 seconds on them. I mean, to me, that was just a ridiculous set of plays, and the Titans were stupid. I mean, it was some stupid football going on the last 4 minutes. Let's be honest. LeSean Sims picking the ball up where he did at the 0 yard line, but I didn't think, you know, winning in Tennessee. That's a good win for the situation that they were in. And I think an interesting topic also, and I brought it up on Twitter yesterday and I brought it up this morning. They got What are you going to do with a running back now? What are you going to do with Carlos Hyde? He's going to run for close to 1,200 yards this year. You basically picked him up off waiver wire. You just traded waived players so that no one could pick him up. And then that just shows you that if you get a running back that fits your system, and let's face it, having three new guys in the offensive line, a dynamic quarterback, a very good pass catcher in D. Hopkins, O'Brien has tricked out the offense a little bit to make it a little less predictable this year. I think that helped Carlos Hyde. Are you going to pay him? How much money are you going to pay him?
None. He's going to be a free agent. I'm going to let him go somewhere else, and I'm going to find some other dude on the scrap heap and make him my running back.
That's what typically smarter NFL teams do. I likened it to
He's going to be 28 years old next year.
I likened it to the – but not a ton of tread off the tires, relatively speaking. But I likened it to the Clint Capela signing where, yeah, I like what he did for me, but how much are you going to pay for that when there are other guys that do that same thing for cheaper?
Yeah, and I bet the Rockets are kind of wishing that they hadn't. Yeah. So, it's in running back, to me, just give me a third-round running back
it's
in the draft.
It's about circumstance. Honestly. And
of course, you have to have a third-round pick.
Oh, yeah. Well, crap.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of picks, but you can scrap. You really can scrap heap it if you know what you're looking for. Duke Johnson's set to make $4.1 million next year. That's his cap hit.
He wouldn't be making $4.1 million on the Texans if I were there.
Yeah, I'd make him take a pay cut. I would consider... You know what Mark Ingram went for? You know what his contract is? What would you guess Mark Ingram's contract is? It was a 3-year deal.
I would guess probably 4 or 5 mil a year.
15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not a lot guaranteed. It was only like 6.5-7 million guaranteed.
I mean, think about that. What a great value that is at this point.
It was phenomenal value. And look at what he had. Like, he had a much better track record than Carlos Hyde, although similar ages. That just goes to show you. I mean, Mark Ingram, now supposedly he could have had a little more with New Orleans, but wanted to get out of there.
He wanted to be a featured
back. Like wanted to be a featured back. So,
which New Orleans might wish he was their featured back right now, actually.
They might. They might. they actually do miss him. And that's why I don't want Duke Johnson as a featured back. I don't think he's a featured back. But would you guys, like, if you knew you could cut Duke Johnson's salary down to $2.5 million. Would you be willing to pay that a similar salary to Carlos Hyde instead of worrying about – you obviously don't have draft picks to draft one necessarily. I mean, you do, but late. But you know what you have with Carlos Hyde.
You know what I would do with Carlos Hyde? I'd say, hey, here's a one-year, $4 million offer.
His agent is going to look for a Mark Ingram deal. Maybe more. Then he'll look for 3 years, $18 million. Hey, I wouldn't buy it.
Go get it. Yeah, good luck.
I wouldn't pay it.
But, yeah, if he's willing to work on another one-year deal – okay.
I'd go 2 years with him. 2 years, $4 million a year. That's it.
Yeah, you know what I tell his agent? You say, well, look what he's done this year. And I say, yeah, look what he's done every other year of his life. Mm-hmm. He's finally showing up now. I need more before I'm going to pay this guy like he's done something.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's an interesting conundrum about everyone gets all excited. And I know, you know, I'm telling you, the offseason is going to look different without draft picks and figuring out what you got to do now at running back and when do you pay Laramie Tunsil and when do you hold off and do you franchise him. The next 2 years are going to be really, really tricky for the Texans.
And I got
trickier than people think.
There's not a lot of teams out there looking to give big money to running backs these days.
Which is a good thing for you.
I think so too. But I will also say this next year is a year where Melvin Gordon's a free agent. You know, if somebody's looking to pay a big if you could pay a running back big money, would you rather play Melvin Gordon or Carlos Hyde?
I wouldn't do it. Austin Eckler's better than Melvin Gordon.
I think so too. Derrick Henry's going to be a free agent. Now that's a dude who's probably earned some legit money.
That's a battering ram, but man, there's some tread coming off based on Alabama. Listen, and Tennessee.
I'm a big believer, and you can ask Fred. I've always been in this mode. Once a running back's second contract comes up, I'm letting somebody else pay.
It's trouble. It really is trouble.
You draft a running back, and he's good for 4 years, cool. That was a great 4 years. I hope somebody else has just as good a 4 years with him because he ain't going
to
be here.
He would have to be special to get a second contract.
Yeah, you've got to be like an Adrian Peterson type or something like that. But even the guys that in my mind were special enough to warrant it, Todd Gurley, look at him now. This isn't what they paid for. You know, they can't be happy that they've got this guy locked up for the next 3 years like that. I mean, it's
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So even the elite guys, once they get that second deal, it's really a coin flip at that point. I'd rather just take a cheap draft pick, turn him into a running back. If he can't play, who was it the other was it? They drafted two running backs like within the same round or something like that a couple years ago.
Well, not you know, I'm talking about D'Angelo.
Williams, not going back that Jonathan, far back, yeah. but even like the
oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But even like the Rams right now with Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson, don't you think that they'd be like, we could probably be okay with these guys?
They probably could.
And we wouldn't be in cap hell because we didn't pay a running back, you know, billions of dollars.
When you get nostalgic and pay running backs, it typically is going to catch up with you because they don't, at some point, it falls out on them. Every once in a while, you'll get, and the guys who don't, they're usually Hall of Famers.
You know what? You know who I would take if I were the Texans? A guy that I would look at is LeSean McCoy. Because that's a guy whose agent probably isn't insane enough to think that his guy should get a 3-year deal. Because he's going to
get LeSean McCoy cheap.
Yeah, I get him that cheap. Guy. Give me him and see if he can't do what Lamar Miller just did.
Him and Lamar Miller. You mean Carlos Hyde?
All right, yeah. What Carlos Hyde just did? Yeah,
I would consider. Man, he's old too, though.
He's 31. Paying for 1 year.
Well, at that point, isn't he your Duke Johnson? Those are two different backs.
Yeah, but LeSean's a guy who can carry on first and second down. I don't think you want.
Think he still is?
I think so.
I don't know if the reputation, if he still has that same juice to handle the between the tackles. Because one of the things that's made this offense go is that they have been able to impose their will at times with the running game, which is something you can't do with Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I don't know if. I'm pretty sure he might be a restricted free agent.
I can go find you guys. It's not hard to find those kind of guys.
Here's a question: do you think the Browns are going to be keen on paying Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, probably not.
Go get Kareem Hunt, a guy who. Listen, nobody's looking to give that guy a 3-year deal. He's a risk, but can he play? If I had to ask you something. Situations are totally equal. Team A and Team B, let's say their rosters are the same. They just have a different running back. You want the one that's got Kareem Hunt or the one that's got Carlos Hyde next year?
No, Kareem Hunt is
not even quite. The ceiling is so much higher.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's a better player.
And you might get him for cheaper. Or it's possible, at worst, the same amount.
But he's cheaper because of his background.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he's cheaper.
Yes. So take
the
discount.
You're an edgy guy. You're not a Texan. You're not Texans caliber. You're not Texans worthy.
The Texans,
you couldn't play for them.
The Texans are about to make a guy who had a video of him getting high in a gas mask the highest paid offensive lineman in history. I think they can. I mean,
well, different issues.
Okay.
Different issues.
I think that you can take a chance on a guy like that. And that's the other thing about. I don't know. I feel bad calling people disposable, but I just feel like running backs are disposable.
They are.
And if Kareem Hunt ends up being a dummy and he beats up a woman again,
go pick somebody up off the 49ers roster.
Yeah, Mostert.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah, that dude's going to get paid $5 million a year. No,
there's guys who can do it. With that said, I've been very happy with Carlos Hyde. He's been very important this year.
Absolutely. But again, it's. I'm not paying running backs for what they did last year.
No.
I'm paying running backs for what I think they could do going forward. And I don't know if I trust Carlos Hyde going forward.
All right.
All right, that's our man, Lance Erline. You can hear him every morning on the bench. And go see him at the Christmas party on Friday.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it. Fine Jewelry.
I got you guys a $100 gift card from Uzo Bay and Lock Bar.
You got me one?
Well,
they're
for your party.
Oh, okay.
They're a giveaway.
Oh, okay.
Not for you guys.
No. I thought you said I got you guys.
They're for you to pass to someone else.
Oh, okay. When you say I got you guys this gift, I'm like, oh, thanks,
I got it,
Lance.
For your listeners.
That's swell. Congratulations, by the way. Big win for your Cowboys this weekend. That was nice.
I don't like the Cowboys.
All right, let me tell you about Triangle Energy, guys. Shopping for electricity rates sucks. Triangle knows it sucks, and that's why they're trying to make it easier on you. Born and raised in Texas company, they provide simple fixed rates. What's a fixed rate, you might ask? Well, that's simple, like a simple fixed rate. You're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. There's no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity, no minimum usage fees. It's an easy, simple process to sign up.
and you're not going to get any surprises. In fact, you're going to get a weekly usage update, so you kind of know what your bill is going to be like before it even goes out. You can lock in for 12, 24, 36 months, avoid rate hikes, and they've got a discount for our listeners. Simply use the promo code ESPN when you sign up, and you'll save more on their already great rates. Give them a call today. See what they can do for you. 877-93-EAGLE or visit TryEagleEnergy.com. That's TryEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.